Lord, I thank you for your climbing Jacob's ladder.
with us all day, preaching the Word of God. Looking forward to having him here. And then on the 12th of March, Brother William Jeffcoat will be here with us. And I think that's the major things that are going on.
And the third thing this morning, I'm not sure if you remember
how
it was.
Say that again?
There was a third thing.
Yeah, what's the third thing? Anybody remember? Yeah, we did a pulpit committee meeting this morning, so that's done.
No.
Jeffcoat, yep.
Okay.
Yep. And let's be faithful by way of giving to the work of the Lord. Our offering box is on the back table there. That's the way we take the offering here at Ray Street Baptist Church. We've never passed a plate in front of your face, never. We always just ask that you just do your giving privately before the Lord. And so that's how you do it. No, I can't think of anything else right now that's going on. Jim?
Deacon's Fund Basket.
The Deacon's Fund Basket. Today is we had communion this morning. And so we always take an offering to help those in need in the church. And so if you see fit, the basket is there. That represents the Deacon's Fund. And we use that money to help people in the church who might be having trouble paying bills or whatever. So that helps out. So if you can, put a little in there if you would. All right, let's see. I think that's it. Ralph, okay.
Yeah. Well, the only thing from me then is we have been studying Psalm 19 for a while.
Yeah.
And so why don't we get our Bibles out? I know I'm going to need it in a couple of spots. I'm in the same boat as you all, trying to make sure I learn all the verses. And Psalm 19. We're going to do all six verses, all right? So, Psalm 19. Okay, here we go. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto
day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge.
There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the end of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. All right. Would you like us to do another time, Pastor, or is one enough for tonight?
One is enough.
Okay. And that's what we'll do. Okay. We'll do a couple more songs here. Another favorite of ours, 152. Thank God I am free.
Thank God I am free.
reminds me of the story in the Old Testament where Israel, the kingdom of Judah now, is under siege. And there were these lepers that were cast out of the city. And God caused the enemy army to receive a report that made them leave. And they said, well, we're starving anyway. We're going to go to the enemy camp, and if they kill us, that's better than letting them starving to death. So they go to the camp. It's deserted. And there's all this food and all kinds of good stuff there. And they realize, hey, we have to go tell everyone else that the battle has been won and the enemy's not there anymore. Isn't that our job? We found the bread of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's our job to tell everyone that we meet about that. So I thought that would be a blessing to you. One more song, another favorite of ours. Let's stand as we sing it if you can. 211, Everything's All Right in My Father's House.
Child, 'cause you're never
never alone. God all the time. He doesn't go away. All right. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. A practical message here tonight for all of us. In verse 8, that's where we ended last time when we were studying on Sunday night. He therefore that despiseth not man but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. And it was talking about defrauding your brother in any way. We're to make sure that we treat each other in a good, godly, holy way. And so now we want to go a little bit further. That verse 8 does say, you know, when you despise someone else, you're really despising God, because that man was made in the image of God. So you got to be careful when you despise somebody or defraud your brother in some manner. You're dealing with God as well when you deal with your brother in the Lord. But God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Let's not forget the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives on a daily basis. We got to have yieldedness to him in order to really be a godly person and holy before the Lord. But now tonight, let's go into the verses 9 through 12. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Let's pray. Our Father, help us as we look at these very practical things that we ought to be expressing and showing in our daily Christian life. And so guide and direct us, help me to say the right things, and may we all get something good out of your word tonight so that we would be better servants for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, he exhorts to brotherly love and I'll say industry or working with your hands and doing your job from day to day without getting into someone else's business. And the commendation of their love that they already have for each other, Paul brings out here, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren. So he simply commends them for the love that they've already shown toward each other. And he acknowledges their mutual love there in verse 9-8. In other words, he's telling the Thessalonian believers there, you are expressing and showing brotherly love. I need not write unto you. You're taught this, and you're doing it in a good way. And the reasons for their mutual love is because they are taught by God to love. How about that? They're taught by God to love. First of all, God loves us. God loves you. And he has shown his love toward you in that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. John 3:16. And then Romans 5:10. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you and me. And we could go through the whole Bible and show that God loves you and I. And he loves sinners. And even though men have sinned against him, he still loves us. That's because we're made in his image. And so God loves us. Therefore, that's the reason why these believers in Thessalonica ought to be loving each other. Now, here's another reason for their mutual love. Because they are brothers in the Lord. Not only does God love us, but we are all together brothers. And we could say sisters, okay? Brothers and sisters together in the Lord. Now, I would just like to stop for a moment and give you how do we show brotherly love for each other. I got 11 things here, okay? 11 things. Number one, how do you show brotherly love? Pray for your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Pray for each other. I want to say one thing, since I have not been feeling well, a lot of you have been sending me cards and so forth, and it is just a wonderful thing to know that brothers and sisters are praying for you. It's so good to get a card from across the world that someone is praying for us. Or down the street, as a matter of fact, and I get a card from somebody right here in Catasauqua that they're praying to the Lord for me and for my wife as well. I thank you all so very much for that. And that's what we should do. Pray for each other. Number two, I talk to them. I talk to my brother and sister in the Lord. Don't shun somebody. Don't shun a brother in the Lord. Talk to them. Communicate. Number three, I am with them. You know what? Where the brothers are, I want to be. And that, of course, has to do with going to church mainly. Where are my brothers and sisters? I usually find them at church. I thought it was pretty good, Brother Hitchens' messages last week. They were very practical messages last week. He talked about going to church and the importance of being in church and why church is so important to us. And so how do we show brotherly love? I want to be where my brothers and sisters are. Number four, I prefer them over other people in this world. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, you don't love the lost, but I'm going to tell you what, I would rather hang out with a brother or sister in the Lord, okay? That's how you show brotherly love. And if you're hanging out with the lost of the world all the time, and you're never hanging around your brothers or sisters in the Lord, there's something suspect there. So how do you show brotherly love? I'm with them. I prefer them. I prefer them. All right. Number five, I am concerned about them. And I show that concern by the things I say, the things I do. Another blessed thing, I don't know if you just saw me getting into this chair. I think there were four or five guys that lifted me up in the air and plunked me down into this chair. There you go. I'm concerned about them, all right? And we should be concerned about our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Number six, I sacrifice my own time for them from time to time. I sacrifice my own time. You may say to yourself, you know, I really want to do something, but so-and-so, my brother in the Lord, could really use my fellowship right now, could really possibly use my help right now. And I'm just going to give up time that I was setting aside for myself in order that I might spend some time with them. So I sacrifice my time for them from time to time in order to show them brotherly love. Number seven, they can inconvenience me without my being disgruntled. All right. They can get in my way maybe, or, you know, cause me to not be able to do something I wanted to do, but I give it up in order that I might show brotherly love to them. An inconvenience might come my way as I'm trying to show brotherly love to my brother or sister in the Lord. I will do that without being disgruntled. The word for that is meekness. Meekness. Willing to be taken advantage of, I guess you could say. Willing to be inconvenienced. That's meekness. Being willing to be taken advantage of. Do you think the Lord was taken advantage of as he was here on this earth? You know, Moses was it says of Moses, he was the meekest man on this earth. There was no man more meek than Moses. And when you think of all that Moses went through with the people of Israel and all the complaining and moaning and groaning, and there were times they wanted to even kill Moses for dragging them around the wilderness and so forth. And much of the trouble was their own. That they brought upon themselves. And so Moses was a good example of meekness, and so should we. Number eight, I put up with their personally annoying idiosyncrasies. You know what? We all have some personal, peculiarities. We all have some personal peculiarities. And you know what? To show brotherly love, you often need to look past that and show love toward them, even though they may have some qualities in their way, in their behavior that just rubs you the wrong way, kind of annoying and everything. But you put up with it anyway. And I often think of myself with the Lord. How often must I have disappointed my Savior up in heaven? And I might disappoint my Heavenly Father up in heaven simply because I have ways about me that aren't fully up to what the Lord Jesus Christ would have me be. A brother in the Lord If you're going to show love toward a brother who may have some peculiarities like that, really needs to work hard at showing brotherly love. It's not an easy thing a lot of times to show brotherly love, especially when somebody has some real peculiar things about them. But that's just one of the things that I have here. Number nine, I gently encourage them instead of condemning them when they do an unusual wrong. You might see your brother or sister doing something that isn't right. And in your mind, it goes over in your mind, oh boy, if I could just help that brother of mine straighten out in that one area. What do you need to do? You need to gently encourage them instead of condemning them all, you know, up and down and when they do something that isn't right. Gently encourage them. Now, if they are doing something that is sinful, you may have to come right to their face and sit down and say, you know what, we need to talk. There's something you're doing that isn't right, and you know, I'm here to show you what the Bible has to say about that. But you know what? Your brother or sister in the Lord may be doing something that isn't right, and you need to gently encourage them to do what is right. Number 10, I am firm in my opposition to their plans to do wrong. Okay, that kind of goes with the one I just did there. You gently encourage them at times. There are times when you need to just put the stop sign right up there and say, you know what? In order for me to show you real brotherly love, I need to show you that what you're doing right now is not pleasing to the Lord and won't help you in your Christian life. And so it is your responsibility to firmly oppose what they're doing that you know is wrong. And give them Bible verses to help them. The last one, I seek to include them in among my acquaintances rather than abandon them to find or fit into their own clique. All right? I don't know if you grabbed a hold of that or not. Seek to include them in among my acquaintances rather than abandon them to find a clique on their own, which they may end up getting into a group of friends that isn't helpful to them. And you could have helped them to get into a good association with someone. Introduce them to someone who's spiritual. Don't introduce them to someone who's got a lot of problems and so forth and hope that he's going to fit in with that kind of a group. Introduce them to someone who's going to help them and encourage them and be a blessing to them. So I don't know if those 11 things will help or not, but there they are. How to show brotherly love. Well, let's go back there to verses 10. In verse 10, the exhortation to abound in love and industry. Look at verse 10 there. We saw the first part. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. We beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. In what? In brotherly love one toward another. But then tone it with this, and that ye study to be quiet. Here's an exhortation. Oh, by the way, when it says there, we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Let me just ask this question. Will you ever love somebody too much? Can you love somebody too much? Well, ask this question. Has God loved you too much? I'm glad God loves. I'm glad he loves me. And you know what? He loves me a lot. So much so that he sent his son to die on the cross for me. He loves me, and I know he loves me, and he loves you too. And so we should abound in this love toward each other as well, more and more. But while we do that, we get an exhortation from the Apostle Paul to be industrious, all right? In other words, to work and work hard at what you do in a daily way, the thing you do. And the contents of this exhortation is seen in verse 11. It says there in verse 11 that ye study to be quiet. Study means to esteem as an honor. set something up that you would think would be something honorable to accomplish. Study to be quiet. And what does quiet mean? It means just what it says, to rest, keep quiet. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we want to look at verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Talking to the ladies in the church, Peter says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." You know what, ladies? When you have a quiet spirit about you, that brings honor and glory unto the Lord. If a woman is out in the front, very forward, you know, and speaking out and just talking way too much, that's not pleasing unto the Lord. And so what pleases the Lord is a meek and quiet spirit. And that's what not only the ladies, but all of us should seek to do that. All right. And then back there in Thessalonians, it says, study to be quiet and to do your own business. To do means to practice. Go about practicing something. And what is it that we're to practice to do? Your own business. Do your own business. It seems like we all know everybody else's business, and we don't get our own business done. We live in a new technological age, don't we? Yesterday, my wife and I were at a restaurant, and we were eating, and I looked around the restaurant. You know what? I'd say 80% of the people were all doing this. You know, this. They were all doing this. Now, they were doing their own business, but you know what most of that is? What's somebody else doing? What are they doing? Well, I'm going into the bathroom to brush my teeth now. I don't need to know that, you know? Well, we're going over to Joanne's house, and we're going to pick up the stuffed bear, and then we're bringing it home. Yeah. Hey, what? All going on, and you know what? Do your own business. Get your own things done. And this thing here is really, really changing the way our society lives. This phone business. I would encourage you to try to put it away if you can, you know. And I do realize that we can't go back to caveman, and there's no such thing as caveman mentality. There's no such thing as that anyway. We have technology. Let's use it in a good manner. To do or practice your own business. And own business means one's own things. That's easy. And to work. The word to work means to toil or labor and work hard. Go to the second letter of Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And here we want to look at chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 10. And let's see. Yeah, 10. 11 and 12. 2 Thessalonians 3. Just want to make sure I'm at the right place. 10, 11, 12. "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." All right. "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye brethren, be not weary in well doing." So there you go. We're to work with our own hands. And if you don't, you shouldn't eat. All right. Work. Get something done. And boy, do we need that in our society today. So many people are on entitlement programs and handouts from the government and so forth. And nobody wants to work. And they don't have to work many times, because they're given what they need to stay alive by the government. and all these entitlement programs and so forth. You know, somehow, some way, those who get these entitlements should have to do something in order to receive a check from the government to help them out. They should have to do something. And that's what we do here at Ray Street Baptist Church. I'm going to tell you, every single week we get phone calls. People want help, want to know, does your church pay rent for people? Yeah. Does your church pay rent? And you know what? I make them do something before I even go any further. And you know what? That usually stops and they call some other church. I say, this is how we do it. You come to a church service and we'll talk to you at that point. We're not going to go any further unless you come to church. In other words, they got to do something. And boy, that's the easiest thing to do, to go to church. And, well, they say, well, I don't have a car. I don't have this or that. You know what's interesting? It's very, when you finally do meet the person, they're usually rather well off, and it looks like they haven't missed a meal in a long, long time. So somehow, some way, they're finding a way to get through the day. So they can, if they want to, do something in order to eat. And the Bible puts that principle right out there. If a man doesn't work, if he's not interested in that at all, well, then neither should he eat. And, well, you know what? That's how I feel about it, too. All right. Another verse would be, one moment here, Acts chapter 18, verse 3. Acts chapter 18, verse 3. Acts 18, verse 3. Here the Apostle Paul and two of his friends, Aquila and Priscilla. Notice verse 3. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they were, what does it say?
Tent makers.
They made tents. this was the Apostle Paul. You know, he didn't live off of everybody else. Although there were many times when the believers did help the Apostle Paul and took an offering to help him and so forth. But this passage here tells me that the Apostle Paul was not against working and ministering at the same time. So there's nothing wrong with pastors working and ministering and pastoring at the same time. Your pastor has done that for the 41 years that we've been here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. First Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 12. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled we bless, being persecuted we suffer. Notice the Apostle Paul says, we worked. We worked with our own hands we worked. Also chapter 9 verse 6. Chapter 9 verse 6. Or I only am Barnabas. Have not we power to forbear working? Here he says, we as apostles of the Lord could actually forbear or stop working and require you who have been blessed by our ministry to support us. We could do that, but we don't. We work with our own hands. And so that's a good example that the Apostle Paul puts out there. What's the example? That he worked, he and Barnabas worked with their own hands to support themselves. There was nothing wrong, he said, with them if they wanted to, requesting and requiring those whom they've preached to support them. They could if they wanted to, but they chose not to at times. So that just tells you that Paul was industrious with his own hands and willing to work as well. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Ephesians 4, 28. Ephesians 4 and verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Yeah, there you go. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. There's good example. Don't steal. Work with your hands. Some try to rationalize taking things from work because maybe they're not paid good enough or whatever. Okay, well, don't steal to do that. Work hard with your own hands the thing which is good that you may have to give to others who need help as well. If a brother in the Lord needs help, who's going to help him? Another brother. Well, how's that other brother going to help that brother who has need? If that brother does some work, that's how. So somebody's got to work in the line here somewhere, okay? Somebody's got to do something with their hands so that someone else can be helped out. Boy, if everybody just waited until someone got some money in their pocket, everybody would be in trouble. So we all need to work hard. That's what the Bible is saying here. And work hard and do your own business, and things will be how they ought to be. And that verse back there, and let's go back to 1 Thessalonians, our verse we're looking at. And it says, and to work with your own hands. When it says own hands, your own particular hands, all right? Your hands, not someone else's hands. You don't say, hey, you do this. And then, you know, if you're at a workplace, you both should do the same amount of work. Don't you pile on the other guy more work than you're willing to do. Your own particular work, your own hands, and work hard at it. And then verse 11, the reminder of such past charges. Look at verse 11. And to work with your own hands as we commanded you. In other words, the Thessalonians, we've already told you this. So get to work. Get to work and use your hands for good. And in verse 12, the reason for the exhortation, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. And, you know, when you work hard as a Christian, you're being a good testimony, not only to your brothers and sisters in the Lord, but to the lost of the world. You know, when the lost people of the world look at you as a worker at a workplace, they should be saying, that guy works hard. That guy's a good worker. All right. They shouldn't be allowed to say, yeah, he's a Christian, but boy, he sure does slough off at work. He's a Christian, but he sure puts the work on the other guys instead of doing it himself. Oh, that's not a good testimony. We need to work hard, and you ought to be seen as one of the best workers at the place where you work. And I want to say, here at Ray Street Baptist Church, we got a good group of men and ladies as well who get good reports at work and are well known as some of the best workers that there are. And I'm glad to say they come to Ray Street Baptist Church. Amen. I'm glad to be able to say that. So all of you, make sure you work hard and make sure you're a good testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ and even to your church. You know, if you're trying to witness to someone and invite them to church, in the back of their mind, they say, yeah, but he sure is a lazy guy. I'm not going to his church. You know, if you're a good worker and everything, they probably think your church is going to be very similar to you. And so they may respond and come with you to church. So, and then get saved eventually. That's the ultimate goal, right? You know, we bring them to church, preach the gospel in order that they might get saved. That's the ultimate goal. Okay, well, that's it for this evening. I hope it was a blessing to you. Go now and work hard. Do your own business, all right? And don't get in anybody else's way. And let's show brotherly love. Those 11 things I said about brotherly love, oh boy, some of them are hard. You know, sacrifice my own time, be inconvenienced. How about for those with some personality peculiarities? And if a brother goes wrong, you know, you need to get right next to him and help him to go right. And seek to include them in among good acquaintances. Don't introduce them to bad people. Introduce them to good people in the church, right? And That way they'll go high, all right? Introduce them to someone who's spiritually high. That way they can pull them up, you know? If you introduce them to somebody spiritually low, you're going to pull them down. And so, yeah, keep those things in mind. All right. Jason, let's sing the song Until Then, all right? Until Then, it's number 129. My heart can sing when I pause to remember. But the verse in the chorus, it says, but until then, with joy, I'll carry on. We've been talking about, you know, working hard and moving on and doing the best you can. Until then, come on up here, Ralph, and lead us in singing this song. Until then, my heart will go on singing. Number 129. Safety as we travel home, and help us to live in a way that pleases you. And one of these days we'll be caught up home to be with you, and the toils of life and the weariness we go through here will seem like nothing. And so guide and direct us. Help us all to have opportunity to witness this week and to speak for Jesus Christ. Give out tracts and speak for our Lord who died on the cross and who loves people. And we thank you for loving us, and help us to love each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord as we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night.